It's a real privilege for Kathy and I to be here with you these last few weeks and continuing on. And it's an extremely humbling experience to be asked to speak to you this morning. It's a privilege, and I'm very thankful that God has given me the privilege to share God's word with you this morning. Steve made mention that we've been at the Life Resources Foundation, that's the LRF. It's a small missionary training center down on the island of Mindanao in the Philippines. If we're a Bible school, which we are, or a training center training Filipinos to plant churches among the Muslims, you might wonder why aren't we calling it something like a Bible school name or a training center. Well, about 4 kilometers up the road from us is a very radical Muslim village. We placed ourselves there on purpose so that our students would be able to go out on the weekends and get experience with the people that they're going to be planting churches with. But if we called it the Missionary Training Center to Reach Muslims, they may not be too terribly happy with us. But by God's grace, up until this time, they know basically what we're doing. But up until this time, God has been gracious to protect us, and we're so thankful for that, and thankful for the privilege that He's given us to serve Him in that way. If you want to learn more about that, I'd encourage you to come back this evening, and we'll be giving a full report of our ministry there. We've been there since 2002 in that missionary training center when it started. But this morning, we're going to talk about something a little bit different. I'd encourage you to turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you would, please. We're going to talk about being a disciple. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? And if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, if you have come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, who is your disciple? That's not where it ends. If we are a disciple, if we are a follower of Jesus Christ, it's very clear in Scripture that He's commanded us to also make disciples. And it's supported in Scripture in several ways, in several different passages. Some of the best known is Matthew chapter 28:19. Go ye therefore and do what? Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, as I have commanded you. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We're commanded there to be witnesses, or at least the apostles were commanded by Jesus Christ to go into all the world, starting with Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the world, and to be witnesses for Him. So there's a lot of support. And then according to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, we also see very clearly that if we are a disciple, we too ought to be making disciples. My question for you, who is your disciple? And better yet, disciples. And are they making disciples as you work with them? And that's the challenge this morning. Let's read first 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And I apologize, I don't have probably the same translation you do, so follow along with me in your translation. I'm reading out of the New King James, and I'll read the first 7 verses. 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these two faithful men who will be able to teach others. You, therefore, must endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Verse 6. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. verse 7. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Apostle Paul, for his heart for you. Thank you, Father, that through his word there are many challenges for us, and we pray this morning that we'll accept your challenge to be disciples and to make disciples. We commit this time into your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This is the last epistle that Paul wrote before he died. He was writing this from prison. Now, Paul was in prison twice. The first time that he was in prison was somewhere around 56-57 AD. In that time, when he was sent there by his religious leaders in Jerusalem, it was actually for our benefit, because of that time in prison, he wrote the prison epistles, the book of Ephesians, the book of Colossians, the book of Philippians, and Philemon. So actually being put in prison was for our benefit. After a couple of years, he was released, and then he traveled and did some more church planning, and then there was a very wicked emperor in Rome that burnt down part of Rome, Nero was his name. And he needed to blame that on somebody, and of course he decided to blame it on the Christians, that they did that. And some scholars believe that he arrested Paul this second time, somewhere around 66 or 67 AD, put him in prison to shed the blame, to put the blame on the Christian church. Paul was killed shortly after he wrote this epistle. He was beheaded. It's a very, very personal letter. It's written to somebody that he calls my son. It's his last words, you would say. Anybody here known anybody that's or been in the presence of somebody that's just about ready to pass on and go to glory? Are you interested in hearing what his last words are? I was in the hospital with my dad just a couple of weeks ago, and my two brothers standing around dad's bed. And after they had tried to do a procedure on him and came out and told him and told me, and I had to tell him, which was difficult, that the procedure was not able to be done. The cancer was too far to where they could do nothing, and they could give us no guarantee of how long dad was going to be with us. After that time, they got him back into his room, and us three brothers were around the bed. And the words that he said were important. We wanted to hear what he had to say because he knew, we don't know when, Dad's still with us, God is blessed, but he did not know how long he had. And so he had some very choice and precious things to tell his three sons. You know, I listened. I listened very closely. And these are Paul's last words to somebody very dear to him, to Timothy. You think he would tell him what's most important on his heart, what's the most important thing for him? You think that's what he would say? You bet. He would want to communicate that which would carry Timothy on and challenge him on in with his life. And that's basically what he did. He wants us to be disciples and to make disciples. What do we mean by the word disciple? What is a disciple? I got on my computer and looked at a couple of dictionaries just to pick out a couple of definitions of a disciple. Number one, a follower and a student of a mentor, teacher, or another figure. So it's a follower. It's somebody that learns from another person that has more knowledge or different knowledge than what he does. Another definition says someone who accepts and helps spread the teaching of another or of a famous person. So you accept, you learn, you're a follower. You not only do you take what you learn, but you also teach that to somebody else. That's what a disciple is. And that's the challenge that Paul here, very clearly that Paul here has here for Timothy in these last few verses. You therefore, my son, what's he supposed to be according to that verse in verse 1 there? Be strong in what? What does it say? Be strong in what? The grace that is in Christ Jesus. We know Paul, we know that Timothy was not Paul's son because we know who his parents are by other scriptures that we read in other places in the scripture. Eunice, Eutychus is his grandmother and mother. And we know that he's not his physical son, but he's probably his spiritual son. Probably received Christ by the ministry of Paul. We know also by reading the book of Acts that he followed Paul in many of the journeys that he was on and went to many churches or many groups as Paul taught the Word of God. He's asked him to be strong in what? To be strong in grace. We talked about grace this morning in Sunday school. It's something that God gives us. It's a good thing that He gives us. It's things that we do not deserve. But he asks him to be strong in those things that God gives him freely. The word strong can have several meanings as you look it up in the do a word study on it. In a positive way, it means to be strengthened. In a negative way, it could be translated be strong-headed, be stubborn. Ladies, you know anybody in your house that's a little bit stubborn? Or guys, do you know anybody in your house that's just a little bit stubborn? Sometimes we look at being stubborn or hard-headed in a negative way. This is in a positive way. Don't be moved. Don't leave. Cling tight to God's grace. And don't allow anybody to push you back to the law, to push you back to doing things to earn yourself before God, to earn to earn respect before God. He's done it all and He will continue to do it all. And you be gracious, be strong in the grace, giving it to other people, giving them the good things that they need. Where's this grace found according to verse 1? Where does he get the grace? Where is the grace going to come for Timothy? In the same place that it came for Paul. In who? If you got your Bible, it tells you there, in Jesus Christ. Grace and truth. The law came by Moses according to John 1:17. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by who? Christ. And so he's challenging Timothy to stay strong in that grace that has come from Jesus Christ. So that's where he starts. Verse 2. So the first thing that we see here in verses 1 through 2 is we see the challenge to discipleship. And to do that, he needs to be strong in the grace of God. Number 2, he needs to entrust this doctrine to what kind of people? And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to who? According to verse 2. To faithful men, or we could say faithful men or women. Take the word that I have taught, take the word that you have heard, and give it, set it before other faithful people that will take it and teach to others. The word commit, in my Bible it says commit, I think in some other translations it says to entrust. It could be the word, it could be translated to set before, to take the word of God that you've heard, the doctrines that I have taught. Timothy, take those things and place them lovingly in grace before other people so that they can go out and teach those same things to others. That's what he wants him to do. When I thought about that word of set before, I started thinking about my mom. My mom has been with the Lord for, 15 years now? Longer than that. My mom's been with the Lord for a long, long time. But as I was growing up, my mother was a stay-home mom. She cooked lunch for Dad and got us ready for our lunches at school. And she cooked supper. She spent time preparing that, so it was good. I talked to Dad just this week about Mom and about that aspect, and he said, yes, Mom always had a very delicious meal. She spent time preparing. She spent time getting it ready. And then she did not just throw it at me when I walked in the door. She set it before me. She had the table set and she gave it to me. That's what Paul wants Timothy to do, what to do with the Word of God, is to take time preparing it, make it palatable, make it very good, and then lovingly, with grace, give it to other people so that they can take it and give it to other people. That's his challenge. And of course, he's seen this over and over as Paul taught to other people. Teach it to other people that are able to teach others. The word able to teach others can be translated sufficient. 5 times it's translated worthy. Timothy, look for people who want to take the Word of God and teach it to others and pour your life, pour your grace into them so that they can take it and teach it to other people. Okay. Who is this book written to? Timothy. So, is this challenge to make disciples, to teach others, is it only for Timothy? Or is it for Timothy, Pastor Brad, other pastors and missionaries? Is that who it's for? Or is it for you? And for me? And for all of us. Flip back once to chapter 1, verse 7. What is chapter 1, verse 7? For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Of power and of love and a sound mind. Have you ever applied that verse to yourself? Have you ever asked God to give you or to allow you not to be fearful in a situation? Sure, we've applied that verse to ourselves. Flip over to chapter 2, verse 15. Chapter 2, verse 15. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Have you applied that to yourself? To be a student of the word and make sure you know? Sure, you've applied that to yourself. And 3:16, the same book, chapter 3, verse 16, we've all used that. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. We apply this to ourselves, right? Thus, verses 1 and 2 is not for just Timothy. Verses 1 and 2 is not just for your pastors at this church. Verses 1 and 2 is for you. It's for me. And we all should be seeking to take. You know, those of you that attend here regularly and attend a Sunday school, you are getting a wealth of the Word of God. Those of you that attend just to the church services and listen to the expository preaching that Pastor Brad puts, you're getting a wealth of the Word of God. Is it just staying in you? Or are you taking that which you're being prepared for and giving it to somebody else? That's what we're meant to do. So that's the challenge that Paul gives to Timothy. Challenges him to make disciples that are able to go out and make other disciples. Verses 3 through 6, we see a commitment to discipleship. There needs to be a commitment because it's not always easy. Did you know that there are enemies out there in this world that do not want us to make disciples? That do not want more people to come to Christ? Do not want people that are in Christ to grow? Very clearly. And so he takes us through 3 illustrations here to show us what it means and how we need to prepare to make disciples. And he uses illustrations from life. The first one is from a soldier. Principles taught to us for discipleship from the soldier. Look at verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Anybody here been in the service, been through basic training in the military of any kind? Or have you watched any of the movies where you see guys going through basic training or being trained in order to go out in the field? Does it look like it's easy? Does it look like they have to work at it, that they have to discipline themselves? You bet. It's not an easy thing to be a soldier. And you need to be prepared. And he's saying they have to be willing to endure hardship, suffering, to go through it. But friends here, you're being prepared in this church. I know, because I've said in your Sunday school classes, when we're home, we set through your services. You are being prepared. You are being taught the Word of God. Are you teaching others that can go and teach others? Is the question I have for you this morning. He's going to endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, teaching Christ. Verse 4. No one engages in warfare, entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has enlisted him as a soldier. No one entangles himself in the affairs of this life. He doesn't get entangled into the civilian pursuits. He keeps his life on focus, and he keeps his life in his desires to follow God and do what he says. Oh, just a minute. Just a minute. I got a call coming in. I got to take this call. You know what this is? This is an I-4. And it won't even upgrade to the new operating system. And it's something that was given to me a couple of years ago, and now, you know, I can't even use Siri with it. And so I spend time last night with my daughter on the internet looking for a cheaper phone that would do all of those things and I could upgrade. Now, I can't go to an i6 because I just can't afford that. Those of you that can, praise God. I was looking for a 5C or a 5S, and you know how much time I wasted looking for that? And this isn't the first time that I went there to look to see what I could find. There's been several times. And, oh, I'd like to have one. But is that getting entangled in the world? Maybe. We went on a hike on Memorial Day. Is that last week, Monday? We went on a hike on Memorial Day. We were out in the woods outside of Bentonville a little ways. Well, I guess it was, what's the next one after Bentonville? Yeah, not Silo, Bella Vista. We were in Bella Vista in a little, they have little hiking trails out there. You go out in the woods, and we went down in the backwoods, and we were away from the city, away from the traffic, and here was this guy on a hammock. I mean, he had his kids playing in the little creek there, or do you call it creek? He had them playing there in the creek. And he was on the hammock, and boy, if I would have been on a hammock, I'd been laid back and zeeing. You know what he was doing? Do we get entangled in things of this world? Do we get entangled with sports that take us away from the time that we need to prepare, to get ready, to make other disciples? Yeah, I get entangled. And it's a caution that Paul says, don't let yourself get entangled, but keep your focus on what you're supposed to be doing. He's enlisted him to do in order that we are pleasing to the one who has called us. Oh, that's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, as long that we need to be pleasing to him. Discipleship is somewhat like, if you're thinking about taking the word that you know and give it to somebody else so that they can give it to somebody else, it's like going to war. Because our adversary in this world does not want you to grow once you come to Christ. He does not want people to grow. He wants you to get wrapped up, entangled in other things so that, well, I just don't have time. Training can be vigorous. Now, in one aspect, you can take what you've taught and simply, or take what you've learned and simply share it with somebody else. Yes, that's wonderful. Do it all that you can. But he also wants us to be purposeful and to look for other people that can take what you give, the knowledge that God has given you, and take it and give it to somebody else. So we do need to be trained. Hey, would you go to your doctor that is just set in on a few seminars and a few one day a week for 10 years seminars? Would you like a doctor like that? No, he prepares himself. And we too need to be prepared, trained in the Word of God. The one that has sent this, of course, is Jesus Christ. Your commanding officer in a war, if you're in a platoon or something, whoever is in charge, his number one concern is his buddies, his soldiers. You think Jesus is going to take care of you in this war? You think he's going to give you what you need? Of course, just like a commanding officer. The enemy is going to do everything he can do to stop you and to say, well, I can't do that. Are you a disciple? If you are a disciple, he commands, he encourages, he begs you to make another disciple that is able to go out and make another disciple. It takes a commitment. And he shows that through what it takes from a soldier. The fifth verse, we see another life principle. And give some other little truths. If you're going to make disciples, it's something like being an athlete. Verse 5. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. There is competition in this life. There are so many things that people can get busy in, right? And we need to be attentive to that. We need to want to see other people grow and not get wrapped up in the other busy things. Rigorous training. To be an athlete, if you're going to go to the Olympics, do those people train and get ready to go? When do they start training to go to the Olympics? Some of them at 4 or 5 years old, right? They're trained. Do they have to do things according to the rules, the way things are laid out for them? If they don't, what happens? You've got to know the Word of God in order to impart the Word of God. But my friends, I'll repeat it again. You're being taught here. You are being taught at a level that many, many churches do not teach at. You're being trained to walk, to run according to the rules. That's some things from an athlete. Verse 6 is coming some more from a farmer. Some more principles about a farmer. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Do farmers work hard? You bet. Do farmers have to basically love what they do? If they don't, they're not going to do it. Hard-working farmers. And so he is giving us also a little encouragement that we need to be willing to spend the time that we have to spend in order to get it. And we have to prepare the ground and take time with others. You might not get to watch Duck Dynasty. I don't know what else there's on that tube, but I know there's all kinds of things that can suck your time. I know that my iPhone, I know that my iPad, I know that your tablets can suck time. And you have to love what you're doing. Do you love God's Word? Do you love people? Do you want to see people grow in the same way that you've grown? A farmer loves what he does. You know what else a farmer has to do? He has to trust in things that he has no control over. Does the farmer have control over the weather? No. Does he have control over the market price of his product? No, he doesn't. He has to have faith. He has to believe. He has to trust in things that he has no control over. So do we. But God is faithful, as we are faithful. And He will help us do what we have to do. The farmer must be or ought to be the partaker, a first partaker. We need to be partaking of God's Word and allowing it to soak into our lives so that we grow in order that we can also give it to others as they grow. So, with these few verses, we've seen a challenge to discipleship, commitment to discipleship, and we need to be committed and allow God to use us. And in verse 7, I call a contemplation, to think about it, to count the cost. Verse 7, it says, consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Consider, understand, perceive, think upon it. Are you willing to do what it takes to make other disciples? It's not necessarily something that is very, very easy and you can just do without being prepared, because we've seen the other illustrations there, that there's preparation in being a soldier, there's preparation in being an athlete, there's preparation in being a farmer, there's things that you have to do. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to allow the Word of God to soak into your life, put it to practice, and then look, pray, and ask God to give you somebody else that you can give what you've been given to make a disciple? And not just any disciple. Somebody that is willing to take what you give them and give it to somebody else. That's a contemplation. Think about it. Are you willing to pay the price that it takes to make disciples? Now, there's, like I said, there's a couple of things. You can be somebody that should be sharing God's Word. We should be some people that share what God has taught us in a very non-formal or just lifestyle way. That's true. But wouldn't it be something if every one of us in this room was teaching somebody the Word that you know, so that they could go and teach somebody else, and then they could go teach somebody else, and they could go teach somebody else? Look how the Church of Jesus Christ would grow. That's a challenge. And we need to be committed to making disciples, and then make sure, contemplate, think about it. Are you ready? Are you willing to pay the price that it may take? You may not get to do everything that you think you want to do. It may take some of your free time. It may take some of your TV time. It may take some of our computer time. And we might have to put our phone on silent for a while. Are you willing? Think about it. Are you willing to pay the price? Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? I'll end where I started. If you're a disciple, a true disciple of Jesus Christ, your heart's desire should be to see others become disciples so that they can make disciples. That's your challenge. Are you committed? Think about it. Make sure. Contemplate it. Are you willing to do that? Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for the challenges that your Word has for us. We pray, Father, that you'll open up our minds and that all of us, would realize the wonderful gifts that you've given to us and give us the desire, the ability, and the people that we can pour our lives and your Word into so that they too can go and pour it into somebody else. And we commit this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.